Good morning. You're listening to KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, joined in the studio by Marty Biscaglia. She's the executive director of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights, and she's here to tell us more about that commission, as well as why she's here in Ketchikan. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you so much for joining me this morning. I guess let me first ask, what brings you to Ketchikan?
Well, we've decided to do more outreach to the community. We have really built ourselves as an enforcement agency of the Alaska Statute 1880, which is that there should be no discrimination. And we focus on employment and housing and finance. And it's all in the law. But we've always just really focused heavily on enforcement. And I believe that education is more important than enforcement. I would prefer to have fewer complaints and have the public be aware of what is discrimination, because most of the complaints we get, people aren't setting out to discriminate. They don't understand that what they're doing is discrimination. So I think if we can educate the public on that, that perhaps we'll have fewer complaints.
And how does the commission work?
We are we're a staff of 20. And there are seven commissioners. Krista Bruce from Ketchikan here is one of the commissioners, which is why I'm here. She's the one that suggested this outreach here in Ketchikan, which I think is wonderful. And what the commissioners do is they actually review cases. So once we've taken a case, once we've found substantial evidence in a case, then it goes to the Department of Law, and a judge will judge whether or not we were correct in our determination and make a recommended decision. And then that decision goes to the commissioners. And there are seven commissioners. And of those seven, three will be chosen to review that case. And they will either determine that the administrative law judge was correct in their findings, or they could reverse the finding. So it's an interesting way to look at law, because when we think of law, we think of courtrooms and juries, and these are administrative law judges. So there really isn't a courtroom or a jury. It's just a case that's under review. And the cases that come to us, the majority are employment cases, and they are right now harassment is on the rise. We're seeing a lot of harassment cases, sexual harassment, people not realizing that when somebody says, "No, that's not okay with me, you know, don't talk to me that way," that constitutes harassment if you keep doing it. And it's an interesting thing that people just don't seem to understand, that if somebody asks you to stop making a comment, however innocuous you think that comment may be, you could be sexually harassing that person if it's based on their gender.
And you're speaking about educating people. So what are you here to do? Are you going to employers, or how are you educating?
We are actually speaking at a chamber lunch tomorrow. So that will help. We're going to spend the morning in the high school in the government and debate classes. So that'll be interesting, talking to the kids and, you know, letting them know that they have rights once they get out into the world, and there's somebody here to protect their rights. So I think that'll be important. But talking to the business community, and also we're going to do an outreach also at the chamber offices tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, where people can come, employees can come and ask questions. You know, is this harassment? I applied for a job. I was equally qualified as the other person, but I'm Native and I didn't get the job. You know, is that discrimination? It could be.
And how are these cases brought to you?
We actually get phone calls. The complainant calls us, and then we, if they have a basis, and the basis can be race, national origin, sex, color, religion. So if they articulate a basis under the law, then we are compelled by law to take that complaint. And it is handed over to an investigator. And the investigator will actually start talking to witnesses, talking to the complainant, talks to the respondent, which is usually the employer, and asks the employer to address the complaint. You know, what is it you think is going on here? Is this, did you not hire this person because, you know, what were your reasons? So we look at all sides. It's a totally impartial complaint. Before it even gets to that stage, we offer mediation, and the mediation is totally free. So if the complainant agrees to mediation, then the respondent is contacted, and the respondent can usually, unfortunately, many of them don't agree to mediation, which I think is sad, because mediation is a wonderful way to solve a misunderstanding. So if you think that you're innocent of wrongdoing and discrimination, then you can actually move ahead of that by participating in mediation, and then you can solve that with the complainant right then and there. But unfortunately, what happens is most people that think they're innocent, they want to fight it. They say, no, you know, I wasn't discriminating, so I'm not going to go into mediation because that implies that I'm guilty or that I'm admitting wrongdoing. And that's not necessarily true. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding, and you can sit down and talk with the person, and it all gets solved.
So you said mediation is free. Are other services free?
Yeah, actually, it's all free. But mediation, usually when you think of a mediator, you have to pay them. But everything's free, yeah. It's all covered under the state, and we will, if the mediation either fails or they don't agree to mediation, that's when we go to investigation. It is investigated impartially up until the time we determine that there's substantial evidence. That's another unfortunate thing, is we get about 1,673 inquiries every year. Of those, only 444 turn into complaints. So the vast majority never really make it to the complaint stage. And then those complaints are investigated, and only about a third of those actually have substantial evidence where we can proceed. Because sometimes discrimination occurs, but you can't prove it. You know, the witnesses aren't articulating that they actually saw it, or something happens that we can't really prove that discrimination occurred, and then we have to close the case. But the ones that do go forward, you know, we get back pay if it was somebody that wasn't hired, if it was somebody that was discriminated against or sexually harassed, and they either left because of that, constructive discharge, we call it, where they quit their job because of the harassment. We get back pay for them. Sometimes we get job reinstatement. In sexual harassment cases, they usually don't want their jobs back, but they can at least get back pay, and then they can move forward with their lives.
I would imagine in some cases it's difficult to prove.
It can be very difficult
because,
to prove.
Because, like you said, it oftentimes is misunderstandings.
Yes. And if it's a misunderstanding, it's better that they came to us, because then they at least get to talking and the employer understands under the law what they have to do. And most of our remediation doesn't involve just training. It involves, a compensation for the injured party. But it also involves training. In every case that we do, we ask that the managers get trained, and very often that the employees get trained too, so that they know their rights.
Is that something that you encourage with employers, that they have, say, harassment training and
yes,
sensitivity training and things like that?
That's why I'm here, because I'd prefer to have preventive training than to have remedial training. So if you can train your people now so that they know what harassment is and they don't do it, then you're going to save yourself a lot of money as an employer.
Okay, and we received a phone call saying that the public forum is actually today at the Chamber office.
Oh, I said tomorrow, didn't I?
Yes. So that is apparently happening today.
Krista has me on a very tight schedule, so you're right. It is today.
Okay.
Thank you.
So again, people can head to the Chamber office at 3:30 if they have questions, just want to get more information, or maybe have a complaint.
Exactly. If they want to learn more about it, if they want to know how to file a complaint, we can help them. Or even, if you're an employer and you have a small business and you want to know what is harassment, you know, how do I protect myself?
Okay. I think those are the main questions I have. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Just one other thing. We just passed a resolution. The commissioners just passed a resolution to, because right now under Alaska law, the LGBTQ population is not protected. So they just passed a resolution that we're going to be drafting some language to actually get it into the administrative code for protection for the LGBTQ community.
And how will that, is that something decided by the legislature? How would that have to proceed?
No, well, what actually happens is the staff is going to draft the language, then the commissioners will approve it, and then it goes to the Department of Law for review, and then it goes to a legislative committee, and the committee reviews it and approves it as law. But it doesn't go before the full legislature.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, thank you much. And again, you'll be at Chamber Lunch tomorrow at the Chamber office at 3:30 today and around town.
So yes.
People see you.
All right, thanks for that clarification.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Marty Biscaglia, who is the Executive Director of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights. It's 15 minutes before 9:00.